We're learning Yeshaya Perek Tes. We're learning Yeshaya Perek Tes. We're up to Pasuk Vov. Yeshaya HaNavi was saying, describing the tremendous miracle that he foresaw would happen to Yerushalayim, that Ha'am HaHolchem B'choshech, the people were going in the darkness, and now all of a sudden they saw the great light. Here Bisago, you've made the nation great. They had a tremendous simcha, like they'd have the simcha at the harvest. And the reason for their joy was, first of all, Kies Ol Subolo, I'm just reviewing quickly the previous psukim. The yoke of Sancheiriv and that stick that beat Klal Yisrael is finally removed. And in Pasuk Dalet, not only was Sancheiriv destroyed, but it was done without a war, without any Jewish casualties. Normally it would be a simla megolola v'damim, the clothing would be bloody, dirty with blood, and here they were wiped out without anyone killed, any Jews killed. And Pasuk Hei says, Ki yelad yulad lanu. The third reason for the joy is because this miracle came about through a child who would be born for Klal Yisrael. A child that was born, Bein Nitzan lanu, a son was given to us, Vayikra Shmo, and he was named by the one who is the Pele Yoetz, the wondrous advisor. These are descriptives of Hashem. By the one who's the Pele Yoetz, the wondrous advisor, the Kael Gibor, the mighty God, Aviad, who's eternal father, our eternal father. The name that this child was given, Hashem said, he will be a Sar Shalom, he'll be a prince of peace. And it doesn't say exactly who it is, but it's referring to Chizkiyahu. It's referring to a child who was already born. We'll see it even more clearly in the next pasuk. The one who is going to be the conduit through which Klal Yisrael has a Yeshua, the one through which we're saved, is the one who is Lamarbe Hamisra. He's going to be great. He's going to have greatness in his rulership. Ulashalom Ein Keitz. And there's going to be peace without end. Al Kisei David Val Mamlachto, on the throne of David and on the Malchus, the kingdom of David, he's going to be someone born in the royal line of David HaMelech. Lahachinosa, and he will prepare, he'll establish Malchus based David. Ulasaga, and he'll sustain it. Through justice and through righteousness, may atavad olam, from now and forever, kinas Hashem tzvokos tasezos, the zealousness of Hashem, meaning that Hashem has a certain kina that he can't tolerate the fact that the Rishoyim, the 10 tribes, were so involved with their avodah zara and with their pursuit of olam hazeh, and they abandoned the Beis HaMikdash. That kino of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not to tolerate it anymore, caused the 10 tribes to be exiled. And the kino of Hashem Tzvokos that Sancheiriv cursed, and he blasphemed, and he stood outside the walls of Yerushalayim, and he said, none of the idols were able to save their countries from me. And if the idols couldn't save their people, how could Hashem save Klal Yisrael? And the fact that this was blasphemed in public, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is no greater than Chas V'Shalom, any other of the powerless deities that they worshipped, that the non-Jews worshipped, that kino, that zealousness to put an end to the Chilul Hashem, caused Sancheiriv's army to be wiped out. And the kino, that Chizkiyahu, which we mentioned previously, and we're going to discuss it further, the Chizkiyahu strengthened the learning of Torah in Klal Yisrael. And he focused the people that the only important thing is their service and their dveikus in Hashem, and their knowledge of Torah, and what Chizkio did to strengthen and be machazek the people in Avodas Hashem, it's time that it's shown that that is what Hashem wants. And the kin of Hashem Tzavakos, Tassazos, will bring this all about. Now, Barbanel explains, Lamar Behamisra, Chizkio is a king who is going to increase, we're in the Pasuk Vav, Lamar Behamisra, he's going to increase the dominion, the rulership, greater than his father Achaz. And the times of Chizkio, even though he was left with his city of Yerushalayim, but once the mighty empire of Ashur was wiped out, the whole army was destroyed. And Sancheiriv escaped and ran back home, and there he was killed by his sons. The whole Malchus, the whole empire of Ashur was destroyed. So now the next world power would seem should be Klal Yisrael. They were the ones who brought about the miracle, and the whole world is going to hear about this and be in awe of Klal Yisrael. And we've mentioned, again, the king of Bavel sent presents to Chizkio HaMelech, and everyone greeted him and realized that he's, with Hashem on his side, he's the greatest power. So, Lamar Behamisra, he increased his dominion, his malchus, his rulership, was greater than his father, Achaz. And usually when a king makes his country more powerful, it's through war. But here, L'Sholom Ein Kates, there's endless peace. Chizkio didn't go to war. He did nothing. And overnight, the enemy was wiped out and he became the world power. Al-Kisei David Valmam Lachto, and he's sitting on the throne of David HaMelech. He didn't envision as if he's starting a new dynasty. It looked like Klal Yisrael would be wiped out, and because of him, we're beginning again, and we're a new monarchy. But no, he's sitting on the throne of David. Lahochino solasada, to establish it and to sustain it. He's just there to build up Malchus Beis David. He's a simple servant, just one more link in the chain, and his whole goal is to bring a continuation to Malchus Beis David. That's Chizkio's humility and his knowledge of his role in history. He's just there to support Malchus Beis David, and he knows that the way is b'mishpat u'v'tzedaka, not through war, but with justice, with righteousness, and with proper conduct. Me'ata v'ad olam, from now and forever. Now, on the simple meaning, it wasn't forever. In fact, Chizkio had a son, Menashe, who was a terrible Russia. And the nation had a tremendous Yerida. They fell from their lofty height in Avodas Hashem. But Me'ata v'ad olam, from now till ever, means till the end of his life. And interestingly, the mother of Shmuel HaNavi, which we learned about when we were learning Sefer Shmuel a few years ago. But she said, if she has a son, Chana Davin, she said, if he has a son, I'll bring him to Mishkan Shiluv Yoshav Shom Ad Olam, and he'll remain there Ad Olam forever. And Chazal say the word forever is used in the Torah referring to Yovel, the 50th year when the slaves went back and the fields were returned to their owner. That was considered the end of an era. Ad Olam means up to Yovel, the Jubilee year. But up to Yovel, is 50 years, is called Ad Olam forever. She brought Shmuel to the Mishkan when he was 2 years old. And Shmuel lived to be 52 years old. Now, he lived there Ad Olam in eternity, meaning 50 years, and he was brought, when he was 2 years old, when he finished nursing, she brought him to Mishkan Shiloh. So he lived to be 52. That was Shmuel HaNavi. Chizkio, there are Mefarshim that said he also lived 52 years. Even though he became king at the age of 25, and he was the king for 29 years, but it means the Malchus spanned, there were years that overlapped, and there were years that it was part of a year before and part of a year after. It was really 52 years, as I'll say. But it will be Me'atza Vad Olam, from the time Chizkio becomes a king, till the end of his life. Kinas Hashem Tzvokos Tasezos. And again, the zealousness of Hashem is going to bring this about, that Klal Yisrael will have a king, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu has predicted. He's giving this child of Ochaz the talents and the abilities. And Hashem knows what's going to be. He has free will, but Hashem knows that this will happen, that Chizkiyo will utilize all of his gifts from Hashem to accomplish this tremendous Kiddush Hashem and attachment to Avodas Hashem. Me'atavad Olam, from now and forever. The Gemara has a discussion in Maseches Shabbos, on Daf Nun Hei. And the Gemara says there's a certain point in history where Tama Zechus Avos, as if the merit, the Zechus of the Avos, the great Avram, Yitzhak, and Yaakov, the fathers of our nation, that Zechus doesn't last forever. The simple Gemara says, the Tosis discusses it, exactly possible that for certain things Zechus Avos helps, but the Gemara mentions an idea that it could be at a certain point in history we won't have Zechus Avos. And what will keep Klal Yisrael going is Kinas Hashem Tzvokos Tasezos. One opinion in the Gemara is the zealousness of Hashem is going to accomplish it. That there could be a time when we've already used whatever Zechus and whatever merits were generated by the Avos could be ended. But it happens to be Klal Yisrael is the one nation in the world that devotes themselves to doing what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants and to being His servants. And through whatever suffering, whatever Klal Yisrael goes through, we're still His people and we're still attached and we're still devoted to Hashem. And the Kinas Hashem Tzvokos Tasses those. There's a point where there's nothing else that's helping us. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Kinah, the zealousness that HaKadosh Baruch Hu can't tolerate, the fact that Klal Yisrael's suffering, it's enough, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu will bring the Geula. Just like He did in the times of Chizkiyo, Kinas Hashem Tzvokos Tasezos. And again, Rashi points out, he says, L'tshuvas ha'cholkim, as a response to those who argue on Yiddishkeit. Again, a reference to missionaries and the other belief, Christian religion. He says, L'tshuvas ha'cholkim, ha'imrim l'daitam, who say according to their opinion, and again, Rashi's very vague, and you can imagine when he wrote it, they had, you know, different points in history, there were censors, and they had to be careful what they wrote. Right? They were the Crusades, right? Ha'imrim l'daitam, and they say their opinion, and we know what Rashi's referring to. He just says, yesh lo hashivim, you can respond. Umahu me'ata. According to what they're saying, what does the Pasuk mean, Me'ata? They interpret the Pasuk that there's going to be some leader who's HaKadosh Baruch who's calling a son, and he's going to be rule over the world with peace, and whatever they, however they twist the Pasuk. But what does it mean, Me'ata, from now? V'alo lo bo'el ad sov he'me'o shon of Yoser. It was more than 500 years later. This is near the end of the first Beis HaMikdash. The one they believe in didn't live toward it was toward the end of the second Beis HaMikdash. It was over 500 years. Again, Rashi doesn't spell it out, but if you know what Rashi's referring to, you see it there. It's just interesting that it's been something Klal Yisrael suffered with for so many hundreds of years that Rashi discusses. Lamarbe Hamisra, if you look at that word, Lamarbe, it's written with an end of mem, the mem sofis, lamarbe. It's not written with a regular mem like you'd have at the beginning or middle of a word. Lamarbe hamisra. There's a pasuk in Nehemiah, Perek Beis, pasuk Yud Gimel, and it discusses the walls of Yerushalayim. And it says the walls of the city, heim perutzim, the walls of the city were breached. And that word heim, if you look in Nehemiah Beis Pasuk Yud Gimel, it's written with a mem pesucha, with an open mem. In other words, the kind of mem like you should have at the end of the word is missing. There it's heim perutzim, the walls of the city are open, it's written with a mem that's not appropriate for the end of the word. And Chazal bring down, the two are go hand in hand. If it's Lamar Be HaMisra, if somehow the rulership of Mashiach, we'll see in a moment, Chizkiyo would have been if we would have merited, Chizkio could have been Mashiach. But Lamar Behamisra, that rulership was closed up, like a closed mem. And it didn't open up and develop the way it could have become. He was great, and he's accomplished tremendous things in his lifetime, but he didn't become Mashiach. And as we mentioned, after his life, we had a terrible King Menashe. If only when the time comes and Mashiach will open up, will be a mem psucha, it won't be lamar, be a closed mem. When that Mashiach comes and Mashiach opens, then the walls of the city, Haim Prutzim, that were breached, those walls will be closed up and Yerushalayim will be rebuilt in its glory the way it's supposed to be. But as long as this mem is closed, the walls of the city are open, meaning Yerushalayim is not secure and built and developed the way it will be. The Gemara says in Sanhedrin, on Daf Tzadi Dalet Amud Aleph, the Gemara says as follows. Dorish Bar Kappara B'Tzipori. Bar Kappara said the following drasha. Mipnei ma kol mem she'be'emsa teva pasuach. How come every mem in the middle of a word is open? V'zeh sasum, and this one here is closed. Bikesh HaKadosh Baruch Hu lasos Chizkiyo Mashiach. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to make Chizkiyo Mashiach. V'sancheiriv Gog u'Magog. And the adversary Sancheiriv would have been Gog u'Magog, the nation that is described in the Nevi'im as the one that will battle against Klal Yisrael right when Mashiach comes. Sancheiriv could have been the Gog u'Magog. And Chizkiyo could have been Mashiach. Amra Midas Adin Lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But the Midas Adin, the attribute of justice, said before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that it wouldn't be right, it wouldn't be justice to make Chizkiyo Mashiach. Ribbono Shel Olam, Uma David Melech Yisrael, Sh'amar Kama Shiros V'Sishpachos Lefanecha, David Melech Yisrael, who said so many songs of praise. We have the whole Sefer Tehillim that David HaMelech sang to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Lo Asiso Mashiach, and he didn't make David Mashiach. He was so great. And he sang such songs of deliverance to Hashem. And he didn't become Mashiach. Chizkiyo Sho Asiso Lo Kol HaNisim HaLolu. Chizkiyo, that you did all these Nisim. Sancheiriv's army was wiped out. The sun was turned back. Miraculously, the sun was in its position in the sky, and it was turned back as if it was earlier in the morning. And Chizkiyo was deathly ill, and all of a sudden he recovered, and he lived for another 15 years. And you did all these nisim. V'lo amar shira lefanecha. And Chizkiyo didn't sing any shira. Ta'aseyu Mashiach. You're going to make him Mashiach. Lakach nistatim, and that's why that letter mem was closed up. That it didn't open up and develop as Mashiach, it's closed up. That's what the mem is closed. One of the Mephoshim says, could be that's why the mem is put at the way it was done is with a letter mem, to show just like the letter mem was moved back toward the earlier part of the word, it's supposed to be at the end and it's moved earlier, so too the sun was moved earlier. But Chizkiyo didn't say Shira. He didn't sing. And Abar Vanel explains, when it says Hashem wanted to make Chizkiyo Mashiach, it means he gave Chizkiyo certain qualities and abilities that were deserving for Mashiach. In Yeshaya Perek Yud Aleph, which Amir Hashem will get to, it discusses what Mashiach will be like, what his qualities will be, what he'll be able to do. And it mentions over there in Perek Yud Aleph, Pasuk Dalet, V'shafat B'tzelet Tzedek Dalim, he'll judge the poor with righteousness, V'chiach B'mishar La'an Ve'aretz, and he'll be able to reprove, rebuke B'mishar with a straight judgment, the humble, V'hika Eretz B'shevet Piv, he'll strike the land with the stick of his mouth. In other words, he won't have to use physical strength. He'll speak. And that will cause the enemy to get punished or wiped out. Uveruach Safasav, with the wind from his lips, Yom Yisrael shall kill the Russia. That's why Chizkiyahu had that quality. He sat learning Torah, and the enemy was miraculously wiped out. And then it says later in that perek, that Elov Goyim Yidroshu, that the nations will come in Pasuk Yud, and they'll come seeking Mashiach. Covered, and he'll rest in honor. He won't have to go out to battle. He'll stay where he is. And from all over the world, people will come to greet him and to pledge their allegiance. Chizkiyahu was given those qualities. Hashem wanted to make him Chizkiyahu, and he started seeing these things come true. But he didn't say a shira. He didn't sing out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And we'll see why in a moment, a possible reason why he didn't. But he didn't sing out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And because he didn't say Shira, he wasn't zoicha to become Mashiach. David HaMelech, on the other hand, had to fight his battles. David HaMelech didn't have miracles done for him. He didn't sit miracles like this, open miracles, to sit and learn and have the enemy wiped out. He had a difficult time. He spent his life running away, and then running away from Shaul, and then all the battles he had to have with all the nations around Eretz Yisrael. He became an Ish Damim, a man that had to shed blood to help Klal Yisrael and to serve Hashem. But he fought. And even though he didn't see the miracles, he said Shira. So the Midas Hadin said it's not proper that Chizkiyahu should become Mashiach when David HaMelech wasn't given that chance. The Marsha on the Gemara says, Vayikra Shmo, Chizkiyahu's name was called Pele, Yoetz, Kael, Gibor, Avi, Ad. These names could have all been referring to Mashiach. Pele Yoetz with wondrous counsel, as we mentioned in the previous year. All of these names could have been referring to Mashiach. What happened in the end was, it was just Lamarbe HaMisra. He had a tremendous rulership. He now was the most powerful in the world after wiping out Sancheiriv. Ula Sholem, and he had peace. But that was it. The peace of Ein Kates, without end, Me'atav ad olam, from now till ever, that was closed up. That's the closed mem. That never happened. He never became the Mashiach. The Be'am Lois gives a mashal. It was the king sent a general to a foreign country to wage war, and he captured the country, and he was coming back with all the booty for what he captured from the war, and he came back to the homeland, and he was planning to go to see the king. Before he had a chance to go to the king, one of the soldiers took some of the prize booty, and the soldier went first to the king and said, "Oh, we just came back from the military campaign, and this is some of the spoils." The general that led this battle lost all. He could have come to the king and presented the prize and presented the spoils, and he would have found favor by the king. But the soldier beat him to it. The general didn't go immediately. He hesitated. He waited. He figured he'll find an opportune time. And in the meantime, the soldier came, and the general lost that whole mila, that whole advantage he would have had by coming first with the present. This miracle happened on Pesach. Chizkiyahu could be waited because there's a rule of Ein Ma'arvim Simcha B'Simcha. We don't mix together one Simcha and another. Like when Shlomo HaMelech finished building the Beis HaMikdash, he made the celebration before Sukkot. Not to coincide. On Sukkot we celebrate the Yom Tov of Sukkot. To make a celebration in honor of finishing the Beis HaMikdash has to be done before or after. It can't be on Sukkot. We don't make chasnas on Yom Tov. Ein ma'arvim simcha b'simcha. You don't mix one simcha and another. This happened on Pesach. Could be Chizkiyahu was waiting because he felt on Pesach we'll focus on Yetzias Mitzrayim and those miracles. And after Pesach is over, we'll sing a shira that we were saved from Sancheiriv. We can be assured that Chizkio had the best motivation and the best reasons for pushing off his shira. But he didn't say it. And just like the general who didn't present the prize to the king, and then a soldier beat him to it, so too Chizkio didn't sing his shira. And once the Midas Hadin came and said, how could it be he didn't sing shira? And he should be Mashiach. And therefore, Kinas Hashem Tzvakos, the zealousness of Hashem, that Hashem has to work with this Midas Hadin, there has to be justice, and it wouldn't be right for Chizkio to become Mashiach. So the opportunity was lost. This is the end of the Nevuah, speaking at the moment about Yehuda, about Yerushalayim, about Chizkio. And now Yeshaya again focuses on the 10 tribes. This is being said in the times of Ochaz, what will be, and how they're going to be eventually totally exiled. But in Pasuk Zion, Dovar Sholach Hashem B'Yakov, Hashem has sent a word, a message in Yaakov through the Klal Yisrael, V'nofal B'Yisrael, and it started to take effect. It started happening. The Matsudas learned there were predictions. There were predictions that if Klal Yisrael doesn't improve, there's going to be a punishment. The word's been sent out. Dovar Shalach Hashem B'Yakov, Hashem sent out prophecy. V'nafal, and it's already falling, it's already taking effect in Yisrael. V'yodu ha'am kulo. And even though now people are questioning the words of prophecy, and they're not believing it, and they're not accepting it, but v'yodu ha'am kulo, the whole nation will know. Ephraim v'yoshev shomron, Ephraim is a general name for the 10 tribes. And those who live in Shomron, the capital city, right now they speak Bagava. They have pride. Uvagoda Leivov, and with a boastful heart. They're big talkers. Lamor, and they say one to another, or they say explicitly. But right now the people of Ephraim and Yoshev Shomron are talking, and they're saying as follows. Levenim nafalu. The bricks have fallen. Vigozi snivna. So we'll rebuild those houses with hewn cut out stone. Instead of the bricks aren't lasting, we'll get better material. We'll use gozis, these tremendous rocks. Shikmim gudo. If the sycamore trees are cut down, which is an inferior tree, so varozim nachlif, we'll use other trees instead. We'll plant cedars. Meaning, but Ashur has attacked. Some of us have been exiled. There's been some destruction in the land. Don't worry, it'll get better. If they knock down the old buildings, so we'll rebuild and we'll be better than and stronger than we were before. And they have a very boastful attitude that they don't have to be afraid. HaKadosh Baruch Hu won't do it. They won't be hurt. But they'll know that it's not so. V'yodu ha'am kulo, they will know that Dovar Shalach Hashem B'Yakov, that there's been a nevuah, that the words that Yeshaya said, and likewise a similar message was conveyed by Amos, he spoke directly to the 10 tribes. They'll know that the nevuahs of punishment were sent. They were sent by Hashem. And what they're saying is just boastful and has no substance to it. It's wrong. Levenim nafalu v'gozi snivne. If the bricks collapsed, it's the beginning of total exile. It's not the type of thing where they'll be able to rebuild and they'll be stronger. The Malbim learns. It's interesting. He writes the word in Lashon HaKodesh, he writes the word oracle. He writes, the way he describes it, sometimes the masses have a certain expression or a phrase. Mamar mispashe pafi hahamon. Among the masses, people are saying a certain statement. Asher choshvu ki gi'a aleihem maimer zeh kidmus gezeira opakuda min hashamayim. And somehow the word spreads and people feel it's like a message from Hashem. It's not like somebody got a clear prophecy, but it's what's called an oracle, and he writes the word in Lashon HaKodesh. It's a word used in English also. But it's like people have an expression, they almost feel it's a God-sent message to them, what's going to be. Davar Shalach Hashem B'Yakov. Hashem sent out this message, that's the way people feel, that their words are the message from Hashem. We'll see their words in a moment. V'nafal b'Yisrael, and it will befall Klal Yisrael. Meaning it started off with Yaakov, the people who weren't so important, the lower elements of society, started saying this type of talk. And eventually it affected Yisrael, the more choshuva people. V'yadu ha'am kulo, until the whole nation all of a sudden knew that this was the fact. The story that they made up all of a sudden became fact. V'yadu ha'am kulo, the whole nation knows this. Ephraim v'yoshev Shomron, Ephraim and those who live in Shomron, they all know this. V'gavo v'goda levov, and there are words that they speak with pride. And gaiva, a guy can like have pride, but he can sometimes knows that it's not true, and he talks that way about himself, and he might try to delude himself, but he knows really it's not so. But it starts off as gaiva, and then it becomes v'goda levov, a boastful and arrogant heart, that he really starts to believe it. It starts off, he just says it, and then he really takes it to believe, to be true. V'goda levov, in his heart, he feels this way. And the people started to say, Levenim nafalu, you're right, Ashur has come, and he's exiled, and he's wreaked havoc and destruction, but the bricks fell, v'gozis nivne, so we'll rebuild with hewn stone. We'll build it better than it was. Shikmim gudo. Sycamore trees were cut down. Barozim nachlif. And we'll exchange it. We'll replace them with cedar. And the Malbim explains that usually if somebody has a house, a building out of bricks, he doesn't knock it down to build gozis. On the other hand, if somebody has a forest of sycamore trees, sometimes he'll cut down the forest to plant a better tree, al-rozim, to plant the cedar trees. The people start off saying, levenim nafalu, the houses fell. The houses have collapsed. As if to acknowledge that it would have been better if the enemy didn't come. But once it happened, the bricks fell, okay, we'll build it better than it was. V'gozi snivne. And then the people actually started looking at it as if this is all good news. Shikmim gudo, like the sycamore trees were chopped down. Like, you know, it would have been nice to rebuild, and we had all these trees, and I'm so happy that somebody knocked down the trees, that now we could build it barozim nachlif, we can replace it with cedar trees. So people started looking at it as not the beginning of a punishment from Hashem, but that this things are going to be even better than they were. What they were referring to, the Mephorshim mentioned, is the 10 tribes had an alliance with Aram. And the two nations together were going to attack Eretz Yisrael in the times of Ochaz. What happened was Ashur came and defeated Aram, and therefore the whole alliance fell apart. But people understood, the people in the 10 tribes understood their destruction and the fact that their ally, Aram, was defeated. So they said, oh, if Aram is defeated, don't worry, we'll get better allies. The bricks have fallen, but we'll rebuild with gozis. The sycamores were cut down, but we'll replace it with cedars. By Yisagev Hashem es tzorei ritzino lov. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has strengthened the enemies of Ritzin. Ritzin was the king of Aram. The enemies of Aram are now overpowering them. Ves oivov yisachseich, and the adversaries of Aram are being roused to attack. It could also mean ves oivov HaKadosh Baruch Hu is bringing enemies against his enemies, meaning the Rishoyim, the wicked people in the 10 tribes. The wicked. Yisach Seif Hashem is now arousing that they're going to, is going to be a time of upheaval. Aram Mikedem. Aram is from the east. Uflishtim Yochar and the Plishtim on the west. Vayochlu is Yisrael b'chol peh. And they consume Klal Yisrael with every mouth. Now it's all over. The people are taking the riches and the food and the bounty of the land, and they're consuming it. V'chol zos lo shov apo. With all of this, Hashem's anger hasn't turned back. V'od yodo netuya, and His hand is still outstretched. The punishment is not finished. The land is being destroyed. But v'ha'om lo shov ad hamakehu. The nation hasn't returned to the one who's hitting them. As we just mentioned, they have the attitude, the bricks, our buildings are collapsing, we'll rebuild it better than it was. They don't realize that what they're suffering from is from Hashem. V'om lo shov ad hamakehu. The people isn't returning to the one that's hitting them. Ves Hashem tzvokos lo darashu, and they're not inquiring, they're not seeking Hashem. Sometimes a person does tshuva from yiras ha'onesh. He's afraid of the punishment. That's the lower level, which is something we have to work on. Even that level is very often very difficult for us. But a person has to feel when he does an aveira, it's going to be an immediate punishment. And when he does a mitzvah, there's going to be a reward. But that's still the lower level, to do a mitzvah just to get a reward and punishment. But they don't, V'om lo shov ad hamakehu, they don't have a fear of the punishment. They're not returning, doing tshuva to the one who's hitting them. Ves Hashem tzvokos lo doroshu, and certainly they're not seeking out Hashem to what's called yiras haromimus. That if a person is aware how great Hashem is, his awe from the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees him and controls him and everything is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is so great, and who is he? That should lead him to serve Hashem, to feel that he should do whatever he could to show his gratitude to Hashem, that Hashem is so great and he's so minuscule, and yet Hashem showers him with such love and such presence and such care. But Ves Hashem tzvokos lo darashu. They didn't inquire about Hashem. Vayachris Hashem Yisrael. So Hashem cut off from Klal Yisrael Roach, the head, the leader, Vizonov, and the tail, those that are not important. Kippa is the large branches from the tree. Some learn it's like a branch that is kafuf, that bends over from the great weight that it's holding. The large branches that are tilted, that are bent over. V'agmon is a little reed, which is insignificant. Yom Echad, and one day, there's going to be that final day when the 10 tribes are going to be exiled. They're going to be cut off. There won't be the Rosh, the head, or the Zon of the tail. There won't be the Kippa, the strong, large branches. And there won't be the Agmon, that reed. It'll all be the Yom Echad in one day. Zokeinu Nesufanim Hu Arosh. The elder, the Zokein, Unesu Ponim, and the one who's distinguished, that people show favor. The one that's able to have whose word and whose opinion is highly regarded by kings and by Hashem. It could be Nesu Ponim by, it's used in a Ruchniyah sense, in a Gashmiyah sense. But those who are distinguished, Hu Arosh, those are the leaders. And they won't have that. V'novi Moreh Sheker, and a prophet who teaches lies, Hu Hazonov, those that aren't the true Nevi'im, that are saying the true Nevuahs, that's the tail. But they won't have anything. They won't have the distinguished people, and they won't have those that are unimportant. Vayiu ma'ashrei ha'om hazeh masim. And it'll be the guides of this people. Masim are just misleading them. Umusharov, and those who are guided, mivulayim, are consumed. They're destroyed. The people are suffering because the leaders are giving them the wrong counsel. Al-Kainal Bachurav lo yismach Hashem. Therefore, on his Bachurim, on the young Bachurim, the young men, Hashem won't have a simcha. Ves Yisomo ves Almanosav lo yirachem. And on the orphans, and on the widows, lo yirachem, Hashem won't have rachmonis. Very often a king cares about the young men because he realizes that's his simcha. He's going to rejoice when the young men are able to serve him in the army, they'll become the next echelon of leadership. It's the future of the country. Hashem's not going to have a simcha with those bochurim, with the young men. And the king will show special compassion to those that are the orphans and the widows, because he knows that that's his rule as a king, to take care of those that need his support. But on the Yisomim and the Almanos Lo Yirachem, he won't have any compassion. Why is this? HaKadosh Baruch Hu, such destruction, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not going to care about them. Ki chulo chonefu meira, because they're all involved in chanifus. Chanifus is flattery. But chanifus is sometimes is when you see something wrong, and a person's afraid to rebuke somebody or to give tochacha, or he doesn't even stay neutral. Sometimes a person's afraid to say anything. But chanifus is to encourage somebody and compliment him and tell him he's doing a good job when he's going against Hashem. So chanifus skews the whole value system of society. You can have a person who's wicked and he's being praised. But that they're all chanif, they're all involved in this flattery. Umeira, and they're involved in evil. Some refer to Lashon Hara, that they speak Lashon Hara. V'chol peh dover nevola, and all mouths speak nevola. They speak degenerate talk. V'chol zos l'shovapo. And with all this, with all the punishments, Hashem's anger didn't turn back. V'od yado netuyin, his hand is still outstretched. I'd like to spend a little time, I guess, discussing this subject. There are some concepts, I guess, that aren't written beferish in the Torah. You don't see it as one of the Taryag mitzvahs. You don't see it. Sometimes a person can go through life and he's not even sure where it says in Chazal you're not allowed to. Like, what's... This is the source, one of the sources of the Gemara of Nivel Peh, that a person has to speak a refined language. As I say, I'm sort of hesitant. I'm hoping everyone will understand what I'm referring to. But I would just mention again, when the Gemara talks, to give you an idea of the way the Gemara talks, the Gemara doesn't like to use the word chazir, a pig. The Gemara uses the word davar acher, something else. And you'll learn the Gemara and you'll say, you know, it'll discuss somebody saw the tongue of Chutzpis HaMeturgamon dragging in the dirt, and I'll tell you the tongue was dragged by a davar acher, by something else. So the person learning the Gemara figure, what's dragging the tongue? And sometimes Rashi will say, you know, whatever, he'll, the Mefarsh will say it means a chazir. But the Gemara avoids that word. That's to give you an idea of just how refined a person's speech should be. But this is one of the psukim that talks about Nivel Peh, about a person. This is the pasuk the Gemara brings down. And I used to wonder why. I just say that you look at the psukim and you see how severe it is. Hashem will not bring simcha, will not rejoice over the bochurim. There won't be compassion on the yisoimim and on the almanos because they all have chanifus and they speak evil and they do evil. B'chol peh dover nevola, and the mouth speak nevola. What's so wrong with nivel peh? I once heard a shmuz from Rishon Shvadron, and he mentioned in the pasuk of, I was in his house. He used to give a shmuz motzei Shabbos for Yeshiva Bachram. And he quoted the pasuk in Nitzavim. Vatiru eshikutzeim ve'eski luleim. You saw the abominations and the detestable idols of the nations. Eitz ve'evin, the stones and the wood. Kesev is of the silver and gold that they have. And maybe somebody was convinced to worship idols. That's what it says in Parshas Nitzavim. And if somebody goes after idolatry, the punishment is going to be terrible and the land will be destroyed, the pasuk says. And he said very often a person sees something, and the first time he looks at it, the first time he thinks about it, it's disgusting. It's matira shikutseim. It's an abomination. He can't. It's dirty. It's disgusting. Vestiluleim, and it's... Gilulayim, I don't know if that's like the word gull, like excrement, but it's something that's detested. It's schmutz, it's dirt, it's terrible. And then he thinks about it a little more. He encounters it again. And he says, you know, this is not the way Jews live. This is not for us. It's stupidity that the non-Jews do that. It's like Eitz Ve'Even, like wood and stone. It's meaningless. It has no value. But he's lost that feeling of revulsion. He doesn't abhor it anymore. It's not Shikutsei Megilulayim. It's only Eitz Ve'Even. And then as he deals with it more and more, all of a sudden he thinks, you know, the whole world's going after them. Must be something to it. And all of a sudden in his mind he starts thinking, you know, it's Kesev Zov. It gets an attraction like silver or gold. His whole focus and his whole belief has shifted 180 degrees. Rav Avigdor Miller used to say in his, he had a shmooze for having a successful marriage, and he used to say, they shouldn't discuss get, don't discuss divorce, because it could be beforehand, that's not even in the realm of thought. But once the word is thrown out as a possibility, it's thrown out as a possibility, nobody was thinking of it, but it's thrown out, it starts off possibly as a joke, and all of a sudden it becomes, you know, we're not having a divorce, but the concept's already, the concept's been put on the table. And then once it loses its fear of a get. Nivul Peh, I used to think the simple meaning, I think this is the simple meaning, is there's certain things that aren't discussed, they're not thought about, they're not talked about, it's a person shouldn't focus on it. Your mind can only think about one thing at a time. A person's mind can only focus on one thing. You keep it focused on Torah, you won't think about anything, anything you shouldn't, and that's it. And if you talk about it and you say the wrong words, it all of a sudden it brings it into your focus, and the more a guy talks about it, eventually it becomes a reality and it becomes something that he's been talking about and eventually ends up doing it. The Mesilas Yesharim, I'd just like to say over a page of the Mesilas Yesharim. Mesilas Yesharim, by the way, is one of those Sfarim. He opened up the Musa Sefer and you realize halavai we would be on the Madrega of page one. It starts off, in other words, it's a ladder of becoming greater and greater in Avodas Hashem. It starts off, the first step in Avodas Hashem is the guy has to know what his mission in life is and what he should be focused on. Now you can stop right there. And if we spent our life thinking what we're aiming to do, then we would be much, much greater than we are. But he continues. He said the next step is to make sure every action you're doing, Zihirus, you have to be careful. Analyze your day and your actions and see, is that correct? And if it's not in keeping with your mission, don't do it. Again, that's tremendous. To analyze and say, there's nothing in my life that I know is wrong, and whatever's wrong, I am correcting. This is the bottom of the ladder. Then he goes to Zerizus. The person should make sure all of his mitzvahs are say, the positive commandments are done with alacrity, and with the right attitude, and with a zrizus. Then he gets to nikius. Nikius means that he should be clean from any type of wrongdoing. As he describes it, sometimes a person he stays away from averus. He knows he's not doing any avera, but because he still is not, his heart is not totally perfected, he ends up slipping on some of the other branches of the mitzvah. We'll see the example, and we'll get an idea in a moment. He talks about znus, about arayis. Of course, everyone knows the women that are also to them are also. He can't have relations. He can't live with anybody. That's forbidden to him. But nikius would mean that he should be totally clean of any involvement that's improper with forbidden relations. Now, as anyone that's forbidden, if the man and woman are forbidden to each other, they should be totally clean of any wrong involvement. And he says, Od be'inyan znus ha'peh v'ha'ozen. He talks about znus, like immorality, of the mouth and the ear. Tahainu ha'dibur b'divrei ha'znus. Talking about immoral things, or listening to it. Chazal say v'lo yir b'cha ervas davar. There shouldn't be any erva, any immoral of talk. V'omru b'avon navlus peh tzoros mischadshos, because of nivol peh, there are increasing tzoros, difficulties, u'bachuri sonem shal Yisrael mesim, and bochrim die. And he brings a number of chazals that speak about nivol peh. And he says, even listening to Nivul Peh is terrible. Harei l'chosha kol hachushim tzrichim lios nekiyim. Min haznus umein yono. All of a person's senses have to be clean from any involvement of znus. If somebody whispers to you and he says, Shema Shamra Nivul Peh, Eino Ala Kedela Ayim, Olaharchi Kodamin Aveira. When Chazal talk about Nivul Peh, that just means because we're afraid you'll talk about it, you'll come to do the Aveira. Which, as I say, what a person might think before being corrected by the Mesilas Yesharim. Uvamisha Domer Oseach, a certain people have a. They're hot-blooded people, and when they talk about this type of aveira, they end up doing it. But that's not so. Avomisha moro derech schok ba'alma. Some people think if you just say it as a joke, they'll say a joke, an off-color joke. Lav milso, it's nothing. Vein lochushlov, you don't have to worry about it. Af ata emorlo, you should tell that person ad kan divrei yetzahara. A guy who says that to tell those kind of jokes, it's nothing. Tell him that's the words of the Yetzirah. Ki mikra mole sheviyu zal rayosam. Because Chazal bring a pasuk as their proof, and he brings our pasuk. Al kein al bachurav lo yismach Hashem, because they all have chanifus v'chol ped dover nevola. Hine lo hizkir akosuv hazeh lo avodah zarah lo gili arayis. It doesn't mention idol worship. It doesn't mention immorality. The action of Gili Arayis, Voloshvich Hastomim, it doesn't mention bloodshed. Elachanufa, Voloshen Hara, I say the Mesilas Yesharim learns the Meira is Voloshen Hara, Vinivol Peh. And because of that, Al Bachurav Lo Yismach Hashem, that's why Hashem won't have Simcha with the Bachrim, and he won't have compassion on the Yisomim and the Almanos. Ela Eho Emes Hu Kedivei Rabboseinu Zichronim Livracha. The truth is like the Chachamim say, Shenivul Peh Hu Ervoso Shel Hadibur Mamish. Again, the truth is a person could take every letter of the Mesilas Yesharim, every word, and really focus on it and think it, and we're sort of running through it quickly. But he says Nivul Peh is the immoral act itself with the mouth. Umishum Zenus Hu Shenesar Kechol Shar Inyoni Haznus. And it's a form of Zenus. His point is that zanus is not like we think, it's just the actual action, the physical action. But he says every sense has to be clean from any involvement of morality. You can't, he discusses earlier, you can't look at the wrong things, you can't listen to the wrong things, you can't touch the wrong things, even if you're avoiding the actual aveira. And that's this pasuk. But we see the severity for somebody committing zanus, he actually calls it the actual immorality with his mouth. Kivara ka'esh and pasuk yudzayin, kivara ka'esh risha, the wickedness is burning like a fire. Shomer v'shayis yotochel, and it consumes the thorns and the weeds. Batitzas besivchei hayar, it will kindle the branches of the forest. Vais abchu geus oshon, and they'll be overcome by the intensity of the smoke. These words, a lot of them are difficult to translate. The article does an excellent job. But vais abchu geus oshon, they become overwhelmed with the intensity of the smoke. Be'evras Hashem tzvokos, with the wrath of Hashem netam oretz. That word netam is Rashi brings down she'ein lo dimyon b'mikra. This word doesn't appear anywhere else in Tanakh. It's like a one usage word. The Targum says charoichas, it gets singed with the anger of Hashem tzvokos netam oretz. The land is singed, it's charred. Vayia om k'machol asation, the people are like consumed with fire. Ish alochi v'lo yachmolu, one person doesn't have compassion on his own brother. Very often from suffering, the ideal thing would be if somebody suffers and he can feel the pain, he should be able to feel somebody else's pain. But it's difficult. The people are suffering and they can't, and therefore they don't have compassion on the other. Vayigzar al yamin, he snatches from the right, v'roiv, and he takes from what belongs to people on his right side and he eats it, but he's still hungry. Vayochal al smol, he eats from those that are on the left. Below Savei, when he's still not satisfied. Ish pesar zero yochehu. Each one is like eating the flesh off of his arm. Which the Targum and Rashi bring down. Eating the flesh off of his arm could mean like an arm is so close to you. It means your relative. And eating the flesh of the arm means he's eating the possessions and the wealth of his relative. The person's grabbing from all directions. And it's not helping. Menashe es Ephraim, Menashe and Ephraim, who are brothers, same parents. Menashe takes from Ephraim, and Ephraim es Menashe, Ephraim takes from Menashe. And together, Yachdav Hemal Yehuda, they're together against Yehuda, that's their relative. Abachozos l'shov apo. And the time is such a time of distress, and such a difficult time for Klal Yisrael, for the 10 tribes, and yet b'chozos l'shov apo, with all of this, Hashem's anger hasn't turned back. Va'od yado netuya, and His hand is still outstretched. The first step is the people have to realize that it comes from Hashem. As we said earlier in Pasuk Yud Beis, v'ha'om lo shov ad hamakeyu, the people didn't turn back to the one that's hitting them. A person has to realize it's from Hashem. Sometimes Hashem, they give a mashal, like if there's a fire, you know, the fire alarm will hopefully wake up the people. And if the fire alarm doesn't wake up the people, they'll throw a rock through the window. They'll do something to wake up the people inside. And they'll do whatever they could to wake up the people. Sometimes there's a little punishment, and it's meant as a warning, as a warning. And if the people don't take and they don't do tshuva, it gets worse and worse and worse until the people wake up and they realize that we have to turn back to our Kadosh Baruch Hu, and that is our true good fortune and happiness in life.